Well, I want to welcome you to the Worth Baptist Church Auditorium Sunday School class. Glad to be able to be with you today. This is a video that is being streamed to you this morning. And we're excited about the fact that the church is meeting again today, at least some, in an early service at 8 and then in another service at 11. Now, the details about the services in the future are on the WorthBaptistChurch.org website, and you can go on that and find out more of the plans for the days that lie ahead. Now, I'm not sure when we'll be having the auditorium class again. I'm not real sure about that, but we know that it will start up again, and that will be as soon as possible, and we'll certainly let you know about that and keep you posted as to when that will be. Continuing your prayers now for some members of our class. This is not our exhaustive prayer list, but mainly those that are associated with our class. And we'd like for you to continue to pray for Nancy and Joe Hawkins, and also Lakita Spann, and be praying for Frank, who is ministering to her, and Jerry Tate and his wife, Pat. Jerry's still in a rehab facility. And then Brother Paladna is, as I understand it, still in rehab. So these are just a few associated with our class. If you know of any more that need to be on the prayer list, let the church know or let me know. All right, we want to continue our series in Sunday school on Facing Goliath. Facing Goliath. Of course, we remember the story of David and Goliath. And we're talking about daring to engage in spiritual battle. Daring to engage in spiritual battle. And today is lesson number 6 in that series, and it's entitled, Dare to Be a Real Friend. Dare to Be a Real Friend. Friendship is an interesting thing, and we all have friendships, and we wonder just how committed we are to those kinds of friendships. Real friendship is something that the Bible teaches is what we should pursue. And real friendship is very important. Jonathan and David became really good friends. They knitted together. Their souls were knitted together. They became friends. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, and David was the one that eventually was going to become the king of Israel. But God gave them a great, great friendship. And we need that kind of commitment. You'll see that as we go along to encourage us to be the kind of friend that Jonathan was. Now, many of you and most of us have, if you're on Facebook, you have probably 100 or plus, maybe more than that, of friends on your Facebook account. But you wonder how many of those are really, really friends in the biblical sense, very close friends, friends that would be like David and Jonathan. And we want to look at those, and we know that not everybody on our Facebook page is going to be our close friend, but we need to be friends with other people. And we need to look at friendship and realize what a blessing that can be. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it's our goal, it should be, to be like the Lord himself, to be friendly, and to remember that Jesus is always described, thank God, as a friend of sinners. And I'm glad that he is. Matthew 11:19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber. And notice these words, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Now, in 1 Samuel, I want us to find our place in the Bibles today, if you would. And if you'll go to chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, find it there in the scriptures. And we want to look at this relationship as it started out with David and Samuel, Saul's son. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David." That means they had emotional heart affection for one another as friends. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The word soul there is nephesh. It's talking about the person, actually. He loved him as he loved himself, is what he's saying. They were that close. "And so Saul took him that day and will let him go no more home to his father's house. King Saul kept him there. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle," or to his belt. Well, they became great friends. We need to be friends. By the way, who are you being a friend to today? Can you think of somebody that you say, "Yeah, I'm a friend to that person. I'm really their friend." Well, what kind of friend are you? We ought to be good friends. Walter Winchell said this, "A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out." That's true, isn't it? Somebody that walks in when everybody else forsakes you. That's a real friend. Someone else has said, "You can always tell a real friend when you've made a fool of yourself. He doesn't feel that you've done a permanent job." He doesn't think you've done a permanent job of making a fool out of yourself. And many of us have been there, and thank God for friends who've been there with us and have sort of picked up the pieces for us. Now, we look at Jonathan, first of all, in outlining this, Roman numeral 1, if you want to outline it. Jonathan's generosity. Jonathan's generosity. And we notice that in verse 4, he gave his resources. Let me look at that one more time. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. He gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now, we know that God has always taken care of his people. God likes to take care of his own. That's obvious in the Word of God. And even sometimes he uses evil people, wicked people, to accomplish helping out those that are his children. For instance, we know God takes care of his people. In 1 Kings 17, we don't have time to read that, but he provided ravens to feed his servant Elijah. You, of course, remember that story where he did that. And then he gave also Joseph favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Well, that was not necessarily one of his Old Testament believers, but yet he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the vineyard. And then he gave the Israelites favor in the sight of the Egyptians. They were primarily, had been their enemy, and later on were quite their enemy, but God gave the Israelites favor in the sight of the Egyptians. He gave Esther favor in the sight of King Ahasuerus in Esther chapter 5. You can read that about that in chapter 5, verse 2. And then, of course, here in our text, he gave David favor in the sight of Jonathan. Now, Jonathan was able to do a lot early on for David. David wasn't able to do a whole lot for him. You remember, Jonathan was royalty. Jonathan had access to wealth and the best of the best in his day. But David was someone that came from a sheep herder's family, Jesse, and he kept the sheep. That was all he did, just a very simple person who was a young shepherd. But he was helped by Jonathan. But later on, when he became king, he didn't forget Jonathan. He remembered the days how Jonathan had helped him, and he wanted to help Jonathan's offspring. And you read about that in 2 Samuel 1 and also 2 Samuel chapter 9, but you read where David helped Mephibosheth. He was a cripple. He had been hurt in a fall. The nurse was running with him, and he was crippled, left crippled. And David sought him out, and David sought him out rather because he was kin to Jonathan, and he brought him to his palace and gave him a place at the table to eat with him, and really took care of him. So Jonathan helped David early on, and David certainly did not forget that. Now, when we look at Jonathan's giving, it was very unselfish on his part. Very unselfish. In verse 4, going back to that, he gave him his robe. Well, let me remind you that that wasn't just a regular robe. It was a robe of royalty. It was probably a very beautiful robe, one that people would recognize that belonged to royalty. And so he actually gave David his robe. He also gave him his sword. Now, this was not just some sword you picked up anywhere in the barracks there, or where they would go and get their swords and shields. This was Jonathan's very own sword. No doubt it was a very beautiful sword, and was very noticeable as a sword of royalty. He also gave him his girdle. We would call that today a belt. It would be like a Scottish tartan, and those plaid tartans and those lines crossing lines and different patterns. Well, this would be something like that, like a Scottish tartan. You've seen those bagpipe players having those on, and the Scottish. But these were all very important things to him. They were personal things to him. And these things meant a lot to him. But he gave those, and he was very unselfish in giving David something that had value to it. Well, you know, that sort of reminds me of Jesus. Jesus did more than Jonathan did for David. When it comes to us, Jesus did far more than that for us. And we should never forget it. In every day of our life, be thankful that he did that. Isaiah 53, 4 and 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So you see what Jesus did for us. He's borne our griefs. He's borne our sorrows, so on and so forth. And thank God he gave us his very best. He did more for us than Jonathan could ever have done for David. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of, notice this, no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My, how Jesus gave us his very best, and how he was sacrificial and loved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus did more for us than Jonathan could have ever done for David. But just a reminder of those things. Now, the bottom line about true friendship is this, I think, that a true friend, I mean a real, genuine, for real friend, sees the needs of another friend, and he does all that he can within his power to meet those needs. A true friendship says it this way: your problem is my problem, your need is my need, and your sorrow is my sorrow. You get that one? Your problem is my problem, your need is my need, your sorrow is my sorrow. That's true friendship. They see the need, and they meet the need. And that's exactly what true friendship should be. And I ask again, who is your friend and how well are you doing in the matter of real friendship? A boy who was from a home that was very, very poor, was sent to the grocery store. His mother sent him to get a dozen eggs. He took his little bit of money and went to the grocery store and got those eggs. And on the way back home, unfortunately, the little boy stumbled, and sure enough, all those eggs broke on the sidewalk. And he sat down and looked at them and tried not to cry. Several people passed by, and all of them would say, "Well, sonny boy, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." But one man did more than that. One man said, "I'm giving him 25 cents. And he said, "I care 25 cents worth. How much do you care?" And he was admonishing the others to pitch in and to help out. He saw the need and he wanted to help. And so he set the pattern for giving. Now, 25 cents back then, when this story took place, was a lot of money. It doesn't seem like a lot now, but it was then. We raised those funds to help that boy out. That's the kind of attitude we ought to have toward our friends. And so Jonathan gave generously. Not only that, he gave his time. 1 Samuel 19, 1 through 3, the scripture says in these verses, 1 Samuel 19, verses 1 through 3, "And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee." Well, you know, all of that took time, planning, going out, being with his father, talking to him, listening to what he had to say, and it took time. Now, some people give resources, and they gladly give their resources, but a lot of people don't want to give their time to their friends even. Fewer give time to friends. But we should be willing to give time to our friends. Friendship, many times, can require time. It takes time for us to meet their needs. And it may mean we've got to change our schedule or upset our routine and take some time out of that schedule and do that. And I believe Jonathan did that. He broke away from the things he had to do there in the palace, so to speak, and he went about his business with his father, gave some time, and he did it all for David, friendship. He loved him, made a covenant with him, and now he was giving time. The story is told of a mother who had a little preschooler daughter, and the daughter wanted her mother to read to her. "Mama, read to me. Please read me another story." And her mother got a little upset with it and just felt like she didn't have the time to do that, and so she got her a digital recorder and recorded some stories on it, and she gave that to her young daughter, and she said, "Now you can listen to Mommy read your books as often as you like. Don't you love it?" And the little girl said, "No, Mommy." And she said, "Well, why not?" She said, "No, Mommy, it doesn't have a lap." She liked putting her head in her mama's lap, her mother giving her that time, that love. And we're just reminded that real friendship demands some time out of our lives. I'm glad that Jesus took time out. And you don't see him saying a whole lot about money and about supplying money or funds for his disciples. But you do see him taking time. And what did he do? He taught them. He spent a lot of time with those disciples, especially the 12 apostles. And he spent time healing people. He spent time washing their feet and doing a number of those things. All of it represented time, the love of Jesus, Jesus spending time. And so we should spend time for our friends. We should be willing to do that. Maybe your resources are limited. Maybe you can't help them financially. But most everybody can give their time and do something for our friends with that time. The question would be, are we willing to do that? Are we going to give that kind of time? Well, he also gave his influence. 1 Samuel 19, verses 4 through 7. Chapter 19, verses 4 through 7. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to theeward very good. Now, Jonathan is talking to the king. He's talking to Saul, and he's saying, David's been good to you. For he did put his life in his hand. He slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? He wanted to kill David. And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Now, he didn't keep that commitment a long time, but at least for a while. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in time past. So there's the story of what took place there. And he was giving his influence. What kind of influence? Well, he was the king's son. And he's talking to King Saul and saying, don't forget what David did for you. He killed the giant. All these things took place. And so he was saying to his dad, please remember that. And so he made a promise to him. At least that lasted for a little while. And I think of the word intermediary. He spoke up for David. He intervened for David. And he revealed a plot that had and he had a plan with that later on. David, Saul, King Saul, wanted some hitmen to destroy David. But we know that Jonathan had a plan, and he revealed that plot to David. Jonathan knew that David would be the next king. And after him, he wasn't jealous of him. He was really in line to be king. But he realized that David had already been anointed, and he realized that he would be the king. But he was a true friend, and he did the right thing and the prudent thing, but it was a true friend that would do such a thing. So we know that just as Jonathan used his influence for David, going back to Jesus, to Christ, he uses his influence for you and me. Do you ever think of that? It's his influence that makes us children of God. It's his influence that saved our soul. Jesus pleads to the Father. And it is based not on our merit, but rather on the merit of our precious friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, his merit and his sacrifice. And so he looked to us and he forgave us eternally. Thank God he did. Jesus intervened. He died on the cross. He intervenes for us. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us. What a friend, the songwriter said, we have in Jesus. And we do have such a friend. Tennyson once wrote these words, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And what he's saying is that we need to intercede for our friends. Jesus interceded for us and still makes intercession for us, and we need to intercede for our friends. And what do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean pray. We need to pray for them. You have friends, do you pray for them daily? I have a list of very close friends, and almost without exception, there might be some unusual reason, but practically every day of my life, I pray for these friends. They're very close friends, and I'm glad to pray for them. And like Tennyson said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. We'll never know what an impact we've had. So Jonathan was very generous in these areas. Secondly, in a main division, Jonathan was consistent. We see Jonathan's consistency. You would be familiar with the line of Shakespeare who said, consistency, thou art a jewel. Well, boy, that's true, isn't it? Friends like that sometimes are very hard to find. It's easier to find some fair weather friends, but consistent friends. You notice about Jonathan, as you read some more of the accounts of the time he and David were together, that he was always consistent. And David could count on Jonathan's consistency. Listen to Proverbs 17:17. The Bible says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A real friend's going to love at all times. He's going to be consistently there. So he was a friend in good circumstances. We read about that in our text back in chapter 18, where everything was going good. David was in the palace, and Saul was accepting him and telling him to stay there and live there. And so he was eating at the king's table. And by the way, Jonathan wasn't jealous. You see, Jonathan was not envious like a lot of people would have been. No, that wasn't the case, because he was a true friend, and he had made a covenant with his friend. And so he wasn't jealous of him. So many times that's a problem in friendships. People get jealous of their friend or someone. But true friendship is durable, and it is there in the good times, and it is there in the bad times. A true sign of humility and a true sign of Christ-like character is applauding other people when they succeed. In 1982, Ricky Henderson was about to set the record for stolen bases in a single citizen. Back at that time, Lou Brock held the record and was following Henderson's baseball career. So whenever Lou Brock knew that Henderson was about to set the record, he said, "I'll be there. Do you think I'm going to miss it now?" Ricky did in 12 years what took me 19. He's amazing, he said. Brock wasn't bitter. Brock wasn't upset that Henderson was beating his record, but instead he was ready to cheer him on. A lot of times in friendship, when a friend gets jealous because of somebody's inheritance or money or position or attention or whatever, they lose their friendship capabilities. They turn on the person. But that wasn't the way it was with Jonathan. The character of a true friend is that they are consistent at all times, good times. Then he was a friend in bad circumstances. He was a friend in bad circumstances. 1 Samuel chapter 20, we don't have time to read these verses. You can read them. And we find Saul was attacking David. David was being attacked, and he was running from Saul, staying here, there, in a cave, over yonder, another cave, somewhere else. And David asked, he went to Jonathan, and he said, "Why is Saul after me? Why does he hate me? Why is he doing all of these things?" He had killed Goliath. He had helped him in the military. He played the harp for him so he could rest at night. And he just didn't understand that. And he was asking. And then he wanted to know from Jonathan, well, what are his intentions? What is he going to do? And so David had been so faithful, and he was wondering what was going to happen and what he was going to do. Well, when David asked, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father?" His life then was in danger. And Jonathan promised that he was going to help David out, and he was going to alert David of some of those problems because he knew his life was in danger. David knew that, 1 Samuel chapter 20 in verse 1. "And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my iniquity?'" So he knew that that King Saul was after him. Now, David, or Jonathan, became an encourager to David. And he encouraged David to not fear, and that he could count on Jonathan to help him out. Let me give you three or four signs of a good friend right here as we're thinking about this. A good friend would not ask you to do anything that is wrong. They just won't do it if they're really your friend. And then they would not ask for impossibilities. And you'd be willing, if you're a good friend, to suffer any inconveniences for the sake of your friend, and you would do whatever's necessary to keep your promises to those friends. So Saul was very upset. Then you have the story as it continues. He had thrown a big feast and everybody was there, but David didn't show up. And Saul got so mad, and he was mad at Jonathan, he threw a javelin at his own son, tried to kill him. Well, maybe at that point, Jonathan might have figured, maybe I ought to just stay out of this. Maybe I shouldn't continue to fool with this. And yet, he wouldn't do that. A lot of people would have dropped it right there and said, look, my dad's trying to kill me. I'm going to try to stay out of this. But not Jonathan. And we know that he warned David and helped David out. Now, they thought probably at that point they'd never see each other again. Later, they did see each other one more time. It was a very brief meeting, and they didn't see each other after that. Friends don't have to be together, by the way, to be friends. There's plenty of time that we can be friends in eternity. We'll have plenty of time. I'm sure that David and Jonathan have enjoyed eternity and have had great times there in heaven already. I've got a very dear friend that I used to be his pastor, led him to the Lord, a policeman, and we just have been very, very good friends for many, many years now. And he lives now close to Indianapolis, Indiana. And I call him every once in a while and, of course, let him know I pray for him. But you know what? We don't have to be together to be friends and to know each other's heartbeat. And we'll talk about Bible prophecy, those kind of things, when we're on the telephone. But I'm glad one of these days I'll be able to spend eternity and we won't be rushed and we won't have to be talking on the telephone. I have another dear friend that just a couple of years ago, one of my closest, if not closest friends that I had in the world. His name was Orlando English, Red English we call him. Red passed away at a fairly early age, and he's in heaven now. He and I used to always get together and we'd talk about the Bible. And then we moved away from Virginia and finally here in Texas, but we remained friends. But I'm glad when I get to heaven, I'll be able to spend a lot of time with my friend, Red English. And I hope you feel that way about some of your friends that have gone on before you. Now, a few more things about friendship, very quickly. True friendship gets involved. Jonathan could have said, I'm not going to get involved, but he did. He said, if it's okay, he told Jonathan, this is between you and me, and I want to help you out. If everything's okay, I'll let you know. If it's not, I'm going to let you know about that. True friends get involved. And then true friendship desires God's best. A friendship that leaves God out is not a real true friendship. 1 Samuel 23:16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth his countenance of his friend. He desires God's best for his friend. And so that's the way that was their relationship. Also, true friendship does not end. And we see that friendship transcends personal circumstances, as I was talking about, distance and even death. And then true friendship finds a way. Jonathan found a way to warn David. And he said, David, you go out there in the woods, and I'm going to come out with a little lad, and I'm going to shoot some arrows. And if it falls short and the little lad gets them and brings them back, that means everything's okay. But if he goes out and I call him back, I shoot the arrows a long way, that means basically you better get out of here. Everything's really not okay. So he found a way, and we need to find a way to help our friends. Jackie Robinson was an African-American baseball player. He made history. He was known for breaking the color barrier. But in those early years, he faced crowds that would make fun of him and jeer at him at every game. During a game In the stadium one time at Brooklyn, the crowd began to deride Robinson for his skin color. Wasn't long, just moments later, that Robinson's teammate, Pee Wee Reese, many of you heard that name if you have any age at all on you, he walked over and put his arm around him, and the crowd calmed, first in shock and then in shame. Asked later, Jackie Robinson wanted to know about the moment when Reese supported him. And Robinson said, "That arm around my shoulder saved my career. We can be the only thing standing between us and a friend and their quitting. So encourage your friends so they don't quit." I don't have time to give you some instances and examples, but in my own life, that's been true. And then thirdly, in 1 Samuel 23:15-18, we see Jonathan's support. "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood." He was out in the woods at this in the wilderness. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, 'Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth.' And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house." You know, it's one thing to say you're a friend. It's one thing to say, "I want to help you," but it's another thing to do it. And we have that story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 10. And those religious leaders went by him, but that Good Samaritan gave up his ride, gave up some of his time, and gave some finances, said, "I'll take care of that bill, put it on my bill, and I'll pay you." And so we need to remember the principle in the book of James chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Listen to what James said. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, 'Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled,' notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works.' Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works." Jonathan did more than say, "Just be warm and filled." He supported David. So he reached out to him, and that's exactly what we should do. We should reach out to people. David, as I said, was in Ziph. Jonathan found him. That took effort to locate him. He probably didn't know where he was. And by the way, we don't need to wait till friends ask us to help them. So many times we say, "Now, if you need me, you give me a call. And if there's anything I can do, you let me know." You know what? Most people won't let you know. Here's the way we ought to look at it. We ought to look, observe, and if we see a need, go meet that need. And that's exactly what Jonathan did for David. He rushed to his help to meet that need. And by the way, that reminds me again of Jesus. And Jesus Christ met our need. We had a need. We were lost. Our debt was great. We were going to hell, but Jesus took our place. He rushed to help us in a sense there on the cross of Calvary where he died and paid our sin debt. And so Jonathan reached out. Thank God Jesus reached out. And then he lifted him up. It's 1 Samuel 23:16, and he strengthened his hand in God. Commentator John Gill said, as he talked about this verse, strengthening his hand in God. And he said, "And his heart too, his hand of faith to lay hold on God as his covenant God and lean and rely upon him. He strengthened him in his power and in his providence and in his promises to him." He really strengthened him. And they parted, the Bible says, they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood. Jonathan went to his house, and that was the last time that David saw Jonathan alive again. Now, physical needs many times are needs that we are able to help out with people, and that's good. To give a cup of water in the name of the Lord, that's good. those kinds of things are very good. But here's something we can do that is even more superior to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The greatest thing we can do is strengthen someone's walk with the Lord Jesus. And that's what Jonathan did with David. He strengthened him in the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Needs being met to help people out in that very same way. 1945, 1946, through that time, Alexander Solzhenitsyn was in prison. He was in a Soviet labor camp. And he got very discouraged, and he really decided that death would be better than staying there and serving in that labor camp. So one evening he decided the next day he was going to quit work. He knew the guards would shoot him, and that was going to be his way out of his misery. But a dear friend put a cross where he knew Alexander Solzhenitsyn would see it. And whenever Solzhenitsyn saw that cross, he was instantly reminded that there was always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he went back to work that next morning, and then later he was released from the labor camp after the fall of the Soviet Union and the Soviet system. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. We can be difference makers if we're the right kind of true biblical friends. And God would have us to be that way. And we can be difference makers in the lives of people, and our friends especially, the lives of others. Jonathan was the kind of friend I'd want to have. All those things that we told you about him, what a wonderful, wonderful friend he was to David. And Jonathan is a great example to you and me today what true friendship is really all about. And we need to use him for an example and be the kind of friend, dare to be a real, genuine friend, loyal, faithful, giving your time, helping out, being there, being committed, and just being an encouraging friend to others. Can you think of somebody today you need to call, write, encourage them? Why don't you do that after we get through with this Sunday school lesson? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he met our need on the cross when he died for us. And I pray, God, you would help us to be loving friends to friends. Help us to be friendly, to have friends. And then help us to help encourage them and meet their needs. We know friendship is very important. Help us to dare to be a true Bible friend to others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you until we see you next time.